You're being seated. Would you open the Bible, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Back to the old tried and true standard of the New King James Version, so I know you can follow me well. 1 Corinthians 15, beginning in verse 12 and reading through verse 19. 1 Corinthians 15, beginning in verse 12. Now, if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. May God bless to our hearing the reading of his word. Michael. I'm going to begin in verse 12. That hypothetical question is brought up by the Apostle Paul here in verse 12. He says, now, if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? And I think what Paul had in mind here is not just the critics of the resurrection were saying there is no resurrection, not just those who we would call liberals were saying those things, not just the secular people, but this found its way into the church. And there were church members who sort of had a convenient resurrection. They realized that it was a part of the gospel, but they really just didn't believe it when it came down to it. They just didn't believe that there would really be or could really be a resurrection from the dead. And there are people today who, when we approach Easter, they love the Easter bunny and all of those wonderful things that surround Easter and children and egg hunts. And they love that part of it, but don't really mention the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's not something they want to think about. That kind of thinking found its way into the church. And Paul, that's what Paul was saying here. He says, how do some of you say, that is the Corinthian believers, the Corinthian body say, there is no resurrection from the dead? And then he goes into, what if, hypothetically, Jesus Christ did not, or excuse me, there is no resurrection from the dead? That is, what if no one has ever risen from the dead? Then he says that, but if there is no, verse 13, there is no resurrection of the dead, then, here it is, the first, then Christ himself is not risen. Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead. And then Paul gives us the ramifications of that. What would it mean if Jesus Christ did not come back from the dead? Look in verse 14. And if Christ is not risen, first of all, then our preaching is empty. The word empty means it has no real value at all. It's empty of any real life-changing significance. It has none. It's void. It's empty. Our teaching, our Bible teaching, empty. Our proclamation of the Word of God, empty. No real value. It's not accomplishing anything at all. It's a total, thorough waste of our time to teach and to preach the Word of God. No value. It's empty. And then he says, and your faith is also empty. Remember, the strength of our faith is based upon the supernatural strength of the object of our faith. Our faith is only as strong as the object that we place our faith in. It's what, it's whom we're believing, it's who we're believing in that can get us to heaven, right? It's not the amount of our faith that ever saves us. It's the object in which the faith is saved. I've often said this. You can have a small amount of faith. If you have a bridge that's a weak bridge going across some water, going across a creek, it's a weak bridge. You may have a strong faith in that weak bridge. But if you step out on that weak bridge, no matter how strong your faith is, what's going to happen? You're probably going to get wet. But if you have a very weak faith in a strong bridge, your faith is in a secure object, then you're, no matter how weak your faith is, and no matter what kind of faith you have, that your chances of getting across the creek are very good. It will sustain your faith. Well, if there's no resurrection from the dead, then Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead. And if He did not rise from the dead, it's a very weak object for our faith. We're putting our faith in a Christ that has no real value. We're putting our faith in a Jesus that will not save us. Our faith is an empty faith. Verse 15. Thirdly, yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. What He's saying is, not only is our preaching void of any real content, our preaching is of no value, our faith is of no value, but thirdly, we're liars. And not only that, but we make God a liar. Because God teaches us in this book that He raised Christ from the dead. But if Jesus Christ did not rise, then we're liars because we're saying that God did raise Him from the dead. We're teaching others that Christ did come back from the dead. And if He didn't, then we're what? We're liars. And we're causing God to lie. And that's pretty heavy stuff, isn't it? That's pretty heavy truth. But that's what Paul is saying. So our preaching is vain, our faith is void of any real content, and we're all found to be liars, false witnesses. Look at verse 16. He says it again. And if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. The original language in the Bible, there are reasons that repetition is used. Repetition is not wasted on us. When the writers of the New Testament use repetition, they're trying to obviously emphasize something that needs to be emphasized. If they say it once, is that God's word? Yes. And is it authoritative? Yes. But if they say it twice, what they're really doing with their pen, what Paul is doing here, is he's shouting with his pen. What he really wants the Corinthians and us to understand, that if there is no resurrection, then Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead. Then Christ is not risen, verse 16. And if Christ is not risen, again, your faith is futile. The word futile here means it's without purpose. It has no real purpose. And if your faith in Christ has no real purpose, then the last part of this verse is true also. You are still in your sins. Wow. You're going to die without life. How important is the resurrection of Jesus Christ? I have said this throughout my life, and I've read commentary after commentary, heard preacher after preacher proclaim this. The resurrection is the very foundation of the gospel. You take away the resurrection, you have no gospel. You have no good news that eternal life is given to us as a free gift from God by faith in Jesus Christ. You have no truth in that. If the resurrection is removed, it takes out the power of the gospel. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. But you take the power out of the gospel if you remove the resurrection. That's what he means by you're still in your sins. Well, that's something to think about, isn't it? So how important is the resurrection? It's time that we move past as believers. There's time that we mature past the bunnies and the chickens and all of the pomp that surrounds our Easter services, all of the cantatas, all of the singing, all of the celebration that we have at Easter, and we concentrate on the real value of that time, which is the resurrection. That's what Paul is going to, into this. He's teaching in a tremendous way. He says, he's using that hypothetical situation. What if there is no resurrection? Then Christ is not risen. If Christ is not risen, our preaching is void of any real content. Our faith is of no value. We're liars, and we're still in our sins. But then he gives one here, a result of that, a possible result of that, a possible ramification of no resurrection, and a possible ramification of Jesus Christ not being raised from the dead. He gives this one. This always moves my heart. Doug, I lost my mom also. Just like you lost your mom in much the same way. But the one thing that I recall is when I was preaching her funeral, and the one thing I instilled in the minds of my children is this is just a temporary parting here. This is not the end. I said that to Chris, I said that to Carrie, I said that to Quinn. This is not the end of Grandma. We're going to see Granny again. We're going to see her. And we're going to spend eternity with her. And God's going to dry up all those tears. Why is that the case? Because somewhere back in history, way back in history, we hear the words as they echo across history from that angel who said, who are you looking for? You're looking for Jesus? He's not here. For he has risen as he said he would. Come see the place where the Lord lay. He was there. We now have an empty tomb. That's why I'm going to see my mother again. That's why I'm going to see all the loved ones that have gone before me again. And that's exactly what the writer says. Look at this. He said, you're still in your sins. Look in verse 18. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ. Now there's the key. There's the key right there. Those of us who will die and have died in Christ. Those who have died in Christ, that is those who have died knowing Jesus Christ as their Savior. Those who have died being placed into Him by means of the Holy Spirit the moment they believed in Him. Those who are in Christ, they died in Christ. Paul is saying here, if there is no resurrection from the dead, then those who have died in Christ have, what's the word? Perished. And that parting was an eternal parting. I'll never see my loved ones again. You will never see your loved ones again. There will be no great homecoming in heaven. How important is the resurrection? It's critical, isn't it? And I'm here to tell you, folks, it goes past the chickens and all the pomp and the ceremonies of Easter that we're doing. It goes way past that. It goes to that empty tomb. And it goes to a living Lord. We serve a living Lord. We're not worshiping a dead Savior. And that's what I said a few weeks ago, and I'll repeat it. All the religions of the world have one thing in common. They're all the leaders, those people who started those religions, whether by tradition or it was a human being that started them, they're all of their leaders are gone and dead. You can visit their tombs. You can actually visit, I don't think you could probably find the real tomb. They say you can, but you could visit that tomb of Jesus Christ, but you wouldn't find him. He's gone. He's not there. He's risen, just like he said he would. That's the beauty of that. So Paul says, here's what he's saying. Now listen to me carefully. He said, if there is no resurrection from the dead, that is, if that's not true, then Jesus Christ is not risen. But if he's not risen, our preaching is void of any real content. It's empty. Our faith is empty. And we're all liars. And we've made God a liar. And then he says again, if Christ be not risen, your faith is futile. For you're still in your sins. And all who have died in Christ, all who have followed you in death in Christ, have perished. If there is no resurrection. And then finally, Paul, I think he's by this time shouting with his pen to the Corinthians. I mean, you know, it's how do you write loud? I find that hard to do. There are things I want to emphasize sometimes when I'm writing, but I don't know how to write loud. I don't know how to shout with my pen. That's one thing Doug and I were talking about this morning. If you're teaching, if you're audibly teaching, you can say it again, can't you? You can repeat it. Or you can say it louder to emphasize it. Or you can change your facial expression to emphasize it. But if you're writing, how do you do that? There's no facial expression here. There's no shouting. But there is repetition. I think that's what I mentioned earlier. But Paul says here, finally, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men to be most pitied, literally is what it says. Most miserable. Most pitiable. If you want to feel sorry for somebody, then feel sorry for somebody who all their whole life have put hope in an empty tomb when really there is no resurrection. They're truly following a hoax. Boy, they're miserable people, aren't they? And they're of all people to be most pitied. That's what Paul said. If there is no resurrection, then Christians should be the most miserable people on the planet. Of all people, we're to be most pitied because we have no hope of a future. We have no hope of that great homecoming one day. All hope is gone. And to set up next Sunday morning's message, I want to finish right here. The whole Word of God to me speaks of two peoples. One coming from Adam the first. Adam the first, in his fallen state, became the representative head of a whole civilization of people, right? People with fallen bodies destined to die. People with fallen minds. People with sin destined to perish. People who are temporal. Adam the first caused the wreckage of a whole civilization. But this book is all about two Adams, not one. And I'm grateful to God for the second Adam. Called in the Bible, the last Adam. There'll be no more after him. The second man, the last Adam, his name is Jesus Christ. This is where this is headed, right here in this passage. And Jesus Christ is at this moment he has become the progenitor of a new civilization of people that are going to have bodies just like him and that are going to live forever just like him. They're going to have his life and his righteousness placed on their account. They're going to have his relationship to the Father. They're going to be children of God. They're going to have his destiny. There's a new race of people being established right now from Adam the last. And we're going to see that in this chapter. Jesus Christ has become the federal head of a new civilization. But that whole civilization, that whole civilization of people, this whole scenario that I've just given you is based on one truth and one truth alone. It rises and falls on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, how important is His resurrection? Once again, if there is no resurrection from the dead, then Jesus Christ has not risen. And if Jesus Christ has not risen, then our preaching is futile, void of any real content. Our teaching has no value. Our faith is an empty faith, because the object that we placed our faith in cannot save us. And we're all found to be liars. We're liars. And we've caused God even to lie. And if there is no resurrection from the dead, then Jesus Christ is not risen. And if He has not risen, our faith is futile. We're still in our sins individually. And all that have died before us, all believers who have died before us, they're also in their sins and they will perish. And finally, we are of all people to be most pitied. Oh, wait a minute. Look in verse 20. This is preview of coming attractions. You see the first two words? But now, isn't that great? Circle those two words. Can you do that right now? Just circle them, because that's going to be the introduction of next week's sermon. But now. But you can't throw out the small words. The Greek, noonday, but now. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your Word. May Your Word resonate in our mind. May God the Holy Spirit be pleased to cause these words to come up in our thinking again, that we might ruminate on them, that we might meditate on them. Father, cause them to come into our mind even as we sleep in the bed at night, to retrieve these words and think about them. Think about the importance of the resurrection. It is the crucial part of the gospel. It is the most significant part of the gospel. Without it, we have no gospel. We have no truth of everlasting life. We have no hope for eternity. We have no hope for a resurrection and seeing our loved ones again. And Father, would You impress upon us, without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we are of all people to be most pitied, because we based our lives upon that truth. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You for how it shouts to us at times. In Jesus' name, amen.